بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still pondering in the surah of Al-Inshiqaq, and the last time we met we reached ayah number 15, and we begin with ayah number 16. Allah the Almighty says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقُ. So I swear by the afterglow of sunset. Now one would say Allah Azza wa Jal is the most truthful. Why would He swear? See, if someone tells me, did you do this? I say, no, I didn't. He would say, swear by Allah. I said, by Allah, I didn't do it. So I need to emphasize what I say by swearing. But why does Allah Azza wa Jal have to swear? First of all, Allah does not have to do anything. Allah is swearing to us because this is the way that Arabs magnify what they say. And Quran was revealed in Arabic. So when Allah says, by Allah, by the night, by the afterglow, by the morning, by the sun, by the moon. So the Arabs, when they listen to this, they know that what Allah is saying has great value. So Allah says, I swear by the afterglow of sunset. Now, what importance does the afterglow or the redness in the twilight, especially after sunset, what value does it have in Islam? It has a great value. Because as you know, we calculate the times of prayers through sets. This is time for Maghrib prayer. And how do we know when Maghrib prayer ends? This is observed by the existence of the afterglow, the redness in the twilight. When the sun sets, there is redness in the horizon, in the direction of west. This is called Shafaq. Allah swears by it. And Maghrib prayer time extends until this shafaq disappears. So if it disappeared, then it is time immediately for Isha prayer. And this is how we recognize prayers. We don't need someone to tell us it's time to pray. We don't need watches. Any layman, someone who does not even know how to read or write, by observing the position of the sun, he knows that this is the time of prayer, whether it's Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, or Isha, the five daily prayers. So Allah Azza wa Jal swears by the Shafaq. And Allah, the Almighty, swears by another thing. Allah says, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقَ, and by the night, and whatever it gathers in its darkness. So Allah Azza wa Jal swears with the night. And it's a miracle of Allah's miracles. The day and night that come day after day. It's a miracle from Allah Azza wa Jal. The things we do at night time, the resting time, where everything rests. So Allah swears by the night. And there is a chapter by the name of the night, and we will come to mention it inshallah. And Allah Azza wa Jal also swears by the things that the night inhabits and it combines under its darkness. So Allah is swearing by the night and everything that goes into it, such as the beasts that lurk in the night and go out, the insects, the snakes, everything that comes out at night to prey, to hunt, to look for something, Allah swears by it. And this may indicate that the people would gather one to the other. So nighttime, families go to be together. And Allah Azza wa Jal swears again and says, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. And by the moon, when it is at the full. So Allah is swearing by the moon when it is in its full shape. And this happens in the middle of the month, of the lunar month, in three nights, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. And these are known in Islam as the white nights, al-ayyamul bid, because the moon is at its fullest. And these nights indicate 3 days that are highly recommended for the Muslim to fast. And the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that fasting 3 days of every month, and highly recommended to be these 13th, 14th, and the 15th. These days, if you fast every month, Allah Azza wa Jal would register you as if you have fasted the whole year. Why is that? Because a good deed is multiplied by 10. So if you fast 3 days, this is equivalent to fasting 30 days of the month. And if you do this every month, as if you have fasted the whole year. Okay, Allah Azza wa Jal swore about these things, about the redness in the horizon after the sun sets. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, swore about the night and what it inhabits, about the moon when it's full. Okay, then what is the answer to this swearing and oath? When you say, Wallahi, by Allah. Okay, then what? That's it. This is not a complete sentence. So people would not consider this to have any meaning. When you say, Wallahi, I will do this or I will not do that. You have to answer to your oath. What is it over? So what is Allah Azza wa Jal swearing over? The answer is, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. That you shall certainly travel from stage to stage. And the scholars have lots of opinion upon these number of words. What is meant by stage or tabaq? Some say that our lives are made of these stages. So you're an embryo, and then you come out as a human being, a child, a toddler, an adolescent, a grown-up man, an elder, and you die. All of these are stages. And not only that, sometimes you are healthy, most of the times, and then you fall sick. Sometimes you have enough to make and raise a family, and sometimes you become poor. Sometimes you have honor and dignity, sometimes someone humiliates you. So there are different stages. You see countries rising, and a few years later, they have nothing. And you see poor countries becoming leading ones. You see those who have nothing wealth-wise become rich. And you see the rich losing all of their wealth and becoming poor. So Allah Azza wa Jal changes stage to stage. Also, you live in some place for some years, and then you move to another place, and you move to a third, you move from one room to the other, you move from one job to the other. All of these are stages Allah Azza wa Jal swears upon. And also, most importantly, the hearts. They flip and change. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that hearts change and turn more than a pot with boiling water shaking and trembling. Our hearts change much harder than this. And this is obvious. You see people waking up in the morning, and feeling that they can conquer the world with their iman, with their conviction. And at the end of the day, they have doubts. And the following morning, they wake up and they doubt, are we Muslims or not? So the hearts change. And that is why the majority of the Prophet's ﷺ dua was, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O turner of hearts, make my heart steadfast on your deen. Make my heart steadfast on Islam. Why? Because the Prophet knows, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the hearts change and flip from one stage to the other. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back. Allah Azza wa Jal puts a lot of emphasis on the health of the heart. Not that so you won't have a stroke or a heart attack. This is not the health we are talking about. We are talking about the livelihood of the heart when it's clean, pure, and filled with righteous deeds. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, says in the Quran, as Allah tells us, on the day that nothing should avail a human being, neither his wealth nor his offspring, except those who come with a pure and healthy heart. There is a great focus and emphasis on having your heart cleansed. And this is done by praying and supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal to keep you steadfast on Islam. Because the heart keeps on changing. People's hearts are connected strongly to worldly matters. Some love wealth. Others love marriage. Some love to eat. Others love to have children. And their hearts are connected to them. And that is why you see their hearts flipping from one side to the other. And a true believer, his heart is always connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, he may enjoy what is halal, no doubt. You love your children, you love your wife, you love your job, you love the money you made. But this is not in your heart, it is in your hand. And that is why when there is need, you get rid of it. It doesn't affect your belief, it doesn't affect your iman. But if these things were in your heart, any defect could kill you. Not literally, but it could kill your iman. So many people I have seen that were on the straight path. Some of them were even scholars or da'is. When you listen to them, you say, Subhanallah, I wish I'm like him. After years in the West, after years in living under pressure of temptation, of power, of a position, they start to compromise their belief. And they start to let go. They become loose. They become soft. And they start to make new opinions, new ideas. Instead of abiding to the Quran and Sunnah, they say, there is one saying of the Hanafi madhab, of the Shafi'i madhab, that says it's okay. Yeah, but what does the Quran and Sunnah say? No, we were not going to go to there. We're not going to go there. We're just going to stick with whatever XYZ scholar had said. And they start to compromise. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us steadfast on His deen. It's a shame. So when Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about these stages that we will go through, the most important stage is that you pray to Allah that He makes your heart steadfast on Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal, after putting this statement and telling the people that you shall certainly travel from stage to stage, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Almighty, ask a rhetorical question. فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. So what is the matter with them that they believe not And when the Qur'an is recited to them, they do not prostrate. Allah Azza wa Jal is encouraging them. Allah is encouraging you. When you hear the Qur'an, when you listen to it, when you read it, Allah is telling you, believe. Why aren't you believing? Put it in black and white. Sit down and be truthful with yourself and ask, why am I not believing in the Qur'an? Because it is the truth and it is the word of Allah. You cannot find any loopholes or any faults in the Qur'an. So if you recite it, if you read it, if you hear it, you have to believe. So why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you? When you hear the Qur'an, don't fall and prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal. As a sign of submission, as a sign of worshipping Him. And this is what signifies, this is what points out a Muslim from any other religion, that we prostrate in submission to Allah the Almighty, not to idols, not to stones or rocks or trees or anything else. We prostrate to the Allah the Almighty. One would say, Muslims prostrate to the Kaaba, to the black stone. They worship idols. Whoever says this is so ignorant that we feel sorry for him. The Kaaba is not our God. We do not prostrate to it. We prostrate in its direction. It's a sign of unity. Allah has put the Kaaba in the center of the earth. So, anywhere you are directed to it as a sign of unity. All Muslims pray to the same direction. If it were our God, would people come and walk on its roof? This is what people do. Bilal used to call the Adhan from the top of it. There's no problem in that. So Allah is telling them, why don't you prostrate? Now, if you read the Quran, you will find that there is a mark here stating that prostration, which means that the Prophet, when he recited this surah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and came to this ayah, he prostrated. And this is known as sajdatut tilawa, prostration of recitation. And it has a number of rules, but you have to understand that it is not a prayer. So there are two sajdas that we do outside of the prayer, and that is the recitation, prostration, and the gratitude prostration. If you hear good news, you fall and prostrate, showing your gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. These two prostrations are not part of the salah, so they don't take the rulings of salah, in the sense that the prostration of recitation, there are 15 locations in the Quran. If you recite it, is it mandatory or not? An issue of dispute, the most authentic opinion, it is not mandatory. Because Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, the Khalifa, recited it and prostrated once, and the following week he recited it and did not prostrate. And he said that this is not mandatory. Now, what other rulings are there when coming to prostration of recitation? When you want to prostrate, you say Allahu Akbar, and you prostrate. What do I say? The normal dhikr, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, or Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih. And there are a number of other dhikrs. When I raise my head, I don't say Allahu Akbar. And I don't even say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, because this is not a prayer. So it is not concluded by salam. Do I have to be in the state of ablution? The answer is yes. It's recommended. Do I have to cover my awrah as if I'm in prayer? It is recommended, but it's not mandatory. Can I make it to other than the direction of the Kaaba? The answer is yes, because it's not a prayer. But it's highly recommended to do it in the direction of Kaaba. So Allah Azza wa Jal has made the sajda in this, and Allah Azza wa Jal is encouraging the disbelievers to believe and to submit. But then Allah says, بَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. On the contrary, instead of them reciting and reading and listening to the Qur'an and believing and prostrating, no, on the contrary, those who disbelieve, belie. They will not accept the truth. They will not accept the Quran. While Wallahu a'lamu bima yu'un, and Allah knows best what they gather. So whatever you gather, whether wealth, health, children, deeds, good or bad, Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything of it. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So announce to them a painful torment for not believing, for not submitting their will to Allah. Then give him this announcement that a painful torment awaits them. And this is for the disbelievers. As for the believers, Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Except for those who believe and do righteous good deeds, for them is a reward that will never come to an end, and that is paradise. And we know that in order for your deeds to be accepted on the Day of Judgment, there are two conditions to be fulfilled. One, that you believe in Allah and you have done these deeds for the sake of Allah only, so sincerity is needed. Two, your deeds have to comply by the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If you innovate, Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept that. If you do something the Prophet did not do, Allah Azza wa Jal would not accept that. From the verses we had pondered upon, we learned that each and every one of us will be moving from stage to stage in this life and also in the hereafter, ending up either in Jannah, in paradise, or in hell. And we also learn that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent His messengers, had revealed His books to us to believe, and we cease not to wonder how humans refuse to accept Allah's message to them. Thirdly, we believe that it is part of the sunnah, whenever you recite or hear these verses that contain an order or an instruction of prostration, that you prostrate. This is the sunnah. When you recite it, or when you hear it from someone who will perform the sajda. But if he doesn't, if someone recites the Quran, he passes by an ayah of prostration, and he does not prostrate, you do not prostrate. If he prostrates, you are recommended to do so. And finally, Allah the Almighty is the only one who knows what is in our hearts. This is not for humans. You cannot judge people by what they intended to do. This is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, our hearts should be cleansed and purified so that when we die, we come to Allah Azza wa Jal with a healthy and pure heart. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.